their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues. We look forward to, with great anticipation, your dialogue and discussion, your questions, your comments relative to the issues each and every day. As we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the Scripture. It is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. We can never go wrong when we allow the Scripture to be the guide for our footsteps and for our actions and what we say and do each and every day. May I remind you that as we look at the Scripture, it is the truth book. Jesus said, speaking to his disciples, John 8:31-32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." In Psalms 117:2, the Scripture says, "The word of the Lord endures forever." It is the truth of God's word that ought to be indelibly marked in our minds and our thoughts and our hearts. But ladies and gentlemen, people are not looking for truth today. The more I live, the more I recognize that we're in a declining society, a society that rejects, repelled by, and that are absolutely refusing to see and understand truth or recognize and embrace truth. It was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, that said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. Unfortunate thing is, in society today, according to the latest survey, 55% of Americans that are 18 to 35 years old say this: each person determines their own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not but one version of truth. You can have photocopies of it. By the way, perhaps you're aware of this. I'm of the age that I recall those. Back early days of the photocopying machines, you could take an original, put it in that photocopier, and if you'd do one or two copies, it'd look pretty good. But if you'd run, say, 50 or 100 copies, the more copies you'd get, the weaker the print. Very, very dimly printed. And that's what we see happening today. You take the original, it's very crystal clear, and the more you deviate from it by copies, the weaker it gets. And we're seeing that kind of society today. It was Jim DeMint, the former U.S. senator, that warns that America's decline is based on the death of truth. And this is what we see happening today. Truth is dying. Jim DeMint said this: "Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity." And ladies and gentlemen, that is so relevant, in particular to the subject that we're going to talk about today, relevant to the truth of the Scripture in particular. We're talking about today the great apostasy is here. Perhaps you say, what in the world is apostasy? We're going to talk about that. We'll look at the definition of apostasy today. We'll also be looking at what I simply call the declension of apostasy and the demonstration of apostasy. Then we'll look at the depiction of apostasy. I'm a literative outline freak, if you will, and I like an outline that I can hang the meat on and understand what we're talking about. But ladies and gentlemen, it's a biblical term, apostasy. We're going to look at the definition, then we'll look at some of the indicators of apostasy in America today. We're going to talk about that, and I believe it's relevant, and I believe we need to listen up and realize what is taking place in our society at this very moment. Ladies and gentlemen, it's 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that said this: faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And I pray that's exactly what you are willing to do. We're getting more and more into the realm of having to defend the truth of the Lord. And as we defend it, we find that we become the targets of that which is angered and repulsed by the truth that is told. It doesn't matter, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not talking about just truth in the realm of central biblicist theological elements, but I'm talking about truth in general. You can talk about truth politically. You can talk about truth of the elections. And by the way, it's another little subject, but there are those that still say the election was not stolen in 2020 and that it was not stolen in 2022. And ladies and gentlemen, if we understand that, then we need not worry about 2024. If you believe the elections were not stolen in 2020 and were not stolen in 2022, then you're comfortable with an election for 2024. That's just a little side footnote. But ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment leadership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about professional lawn care equipment, the homeowner lawn care equipment, as well as the backup power equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291. Old San Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a gigantic benchmark, 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, U.S. flag flowing 24/7 over the campus of Tools for Time. Find that flag and the flagpole, the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does in placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand that as we talk about this issue today, it's a theological, doctrinal, biblical issue. But it is far-reaching. It reaches into every realm of life and living. And we must understand what the Bible is talking about when it talks about apostasy. We have with us today Pastor Glenn Davis. Pastor Davis, good to see you today.
Praise God. Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. It's a pleasure to be here, as Amen. Always, and I thank God for keeping me. I want to say good morning to my bride of 37 years. Amen. Thank God for you. Love you. Don't know what I would do without her on today. I thank God for touching her body and healing her. Amen. And she's progressing as we speak on today.
Amen.
So I thank God because he is a keeper and he's a healer.
Amen.
Amen. And I thank God that every time this country
he's
boy
prays.
He's the
great physician.
Amen. 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 Every time this country boy prays. Amen. God answers prayer.
Amen.
And I thank God because that's a great testimony for me as to where I stand. And it's just like you just got finished saying, we're going to talk about apostasy. And we want to ask this question to the believers on today. Where do you stand? Mm-hmm. Are you on the Lord's side?
Amen.
Are you sure and very sure that you are saved?
Amen.
You know, I can remember, amen, back down through the years, amen. One of the great mothers that I had the privilege of coming up under in the old church, amen, back in the old days.
And be careful you tell our age. Be careful you tell our age.
Amen, amen. We had the wooden floors, amen, and the old bass drum in the church. That was the only thing any kind of music we had. But we had to clap our hands,
mm-hmm.
amen. We had to stomp our feet. and you can hear us, amen, a half a mile away down the road, amen. Yeah. But that we call that good church.
That's right.
That's good church, amen. Church. Amen. But Mother Everett, amen, had a testimony, amen, that stuck with me down through the years. She's gone home to be with the Lord now. But she said, amen, I'll always keep this one mind to follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. No matter how rough and tough it gets, no matter how rebuked and scorned, no matter how my name scandalized, I'll keep this one mind to follow Jesus. He's all I got. He's all I ever need. Pray for me, because I do mean to go through. Mm-hmm. And that really stuck with me. Amen. And as I began to face different things down through, amen, the times of life, amen, when it seemed like things got difficult, and we look at, you know, some of the believers that we were fellowshipping with, and they began to fall away from the faith, I was able to reflect upon that testimony. And that gave me a solid foundation to stand on. Not only that, amen, it really encouraged my soul the more, because now she's going home to be with Jesus, and I want to do the same thing.
Amen.
I mean heaven all the way. So one day I want to be able, amen, to see Jesus face to face.
Amen.
Thank God for that.
That's the way it should be in our testimony. Pastor, I'm going to read a verse or two. Then we're going to have an initial discussion and conversation about this subject of the great apostasy that's here. In 2 Thessalonians, and ladies and gentlemen, if you have your Bible, now if you're driving, I don't recommend this at all. If you're at home, dust the Bible off, open it up. Open it up. It's on page 1705 in my Bible. May not be in yours.
All right.
But it's in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. The scripture says this: Now I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Talking about the day of the Lord is at hand. Don't worry about, don't be concerned about anything that false teachers might say, but listen to what we're just saying is the statement here in this text. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there first coming of falling away. Verse 3 continues, says, and that the man of sin is revealed, talking about the Antichrist, the man of sin, revealed, manifested, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God and that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Notice in the following verses then, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth, or that is allows, will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and wondering. Ladies and gentlemen, mm-hmm.
Lying wonders, yes. And that's what he is.
Absolutely.
As the old people used to say, when Satan speaks, he's a lying wonder. Amen.
He's a lying wonder.
Praise God.
Going back to that third verse, Pastor Davis, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away. A falling away. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the word for apostasy. We're going to talk about that. So the scripture is telling us that what we're seeing taking place today must take place, because the apostasy shall come, which is setting the stage, paving the way, opening the door for the Antichrist to step on the scene.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, I don't know about you, but it saddens my heart to see the condition of the church today.
Yes, absolutely.
As much as you preach, and I know you preach hard. I watch you, amen, all the time.
An hour and a half time.
Amen. And I thank God for you. Amen. And then I know as much time as I put into preaching and teaching and making sure that my life is that living testimony, that living example. I want that light to shine everywhere I go.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not about glorifying me. It's about glorifying my Savior.
That's right. Amen.
So, you know, as much as we're putting into this, it seems like the church is not getting the message.
It's exactly right. And one of the things that I want us to think on as a precursor to getting into the depth of what the scripture says and what's happening in society today in relationship to that. And that's 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1, 2, and 3 in particular. We find that there's going to be a falling away, an apostasy that will come before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, Pastor, read that for us. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verse 1 and 2.
Amen. It's I just about know that one by heart.
That's right. It's at the stage.
Praise God.
It's at the stage.
2 Timothy?
1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2.
1 Timothy 4?
1 and 2.
All right. Okay. I had it there the first time. Now, he said, that means to pay attention.
Yes.
Let's look up. Amen. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Speaking lies, there's that lying wonder, amen, in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with their hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth.
Absolutely. The Apostle Paul, writing to young Timothy, says that there's a day coming, I'm going to paraphrase for our emphasis and illustration. There's a day coming when there will be the falling away from the faith, falling away from the truth of the gospel, falling away from the doctrines in the Word of God. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, I was about to forget, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Love to have your dialogue and discussion, your input, your questions. Perhaps you've seen this taking place. We're talking about the apostasy, and we'll get into the greater detail of the description of that, the definition, in just a moment. But we're seeing that taking place today, Pastor. It was George Barner, just a little less than a year ago, in the Barner Report, that said we got 300,000 churches, approximately 300,000 churches in America. He said that in 18 months, we will see one out of five, that's 60,000 churches, that would close in America.
My, my.
So we must ask the question, what's bringing that about? Why are these churches closing? Why is it, ladies and gentlemen, that in your church, our church, the churches in America, that are preaching and teaching the truth of the gospel. Now, I'm not talking about the pop-up churches with the pop-up preachers with the pop-up goosebump theology and the voodoo theology. I'm not talking about those phony churches. I'm talking about the churches where the scripture is exegeted, where you find expository preaching, where the scripture is explained, expounded, and applied in the hearts and the lives of people. Why is it that you find, we're finding today across America, that those churches are closing? May I simply do a little footnote on that and answer that question for you? It's because, ladies and gentlemen, we're finding today our churches, many just these churches just a few years ago were filled. Just a few years ago, Pastor, they were packed out. Just a few years. In fact, you can go back to the days of Katrina when that took place. Go back to the days when Hurricane Andrew, for example, hit the state of Florida, when major catastrophes would take place in America. For the next 30, 60, maybe 90 days, the churches were packed because they see the hand of God and God's judgment, wrath, being poured out to try to get our attention. So for a brief period of time, there were the little periods of growth and development in numbers that were attending churches. But ladies and gentlemen, today we're finding the churches are closing. As George Barner said, one out of five.
That is
about 60,000 churches across America. Why is that taking place? Now, Pastor, COVID-19 is not the reason of the apostasy.
Amen.
But COVID-19 was the trigger that sped up the apostasy.
Amen.
That we're seeing today.
I agree with that.
As a result of COVID-19, ladies and gentlemen, churches across America decided, well, what we'll do is we'll just obey the government. We'll submit to the government's orders. We'll submit to the statement that the government said churches are not essential. We'll simply close our churches and not have anything in-house because, after all, the government says you might get COVID from a songbook. You might get COVID because you're singing, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." You might get COVID even if you park in the parking lot of a church and have a bullhorn and you're having services outside. So across America, churches were closed, pastors were prosecuted, and churches persecuted because of worshiping the Lord Jesus. Well, as a result of that, multitudes of pastors, perhaps well-meaning, decided we're going to do the video streaming. Many churches during that era, 3 years taking place, the pastor would come into the church. They might have somebody to play the organ or the piano. And then he would stand and preach to an empty congregation. so the video streaming could take place, so that an individual that claimed to love Jesus could sit on the side of the bed, sip a cup of coffee, cup of orange juice, or whatever else may have been, and watch the video streamed message. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not worship.
Amen.
That is spectatorship. That's no different than buying a Jaguars ticket and sitting on your couch and screaming to your out of the top of your lungs as somebody makes a play. That's no different than anything that would be called some kind of football game, a baseball game. It's not personal involvement. It's not fellowship. It's not edifying one another in the Scripture as the Scripture admonishes us to do so. It is simply a spectator sport.
Amen.
And we have reduced worship in America today, Pastor Davis, to the point that it is a spectator sport, if you will, where multitudes think that I can just continue to sit at home. Now, I don't know about you or perhaps others listening. I believe that that's the end result. If you're in a church and the majority of your people or a large portion of the people decide, I'm just going to watch you online. I have a major problem. I think you need to cut the online service off. Stop the video streaming if that's the case.
Amen.
If you have video streaming and you find the church family would rather sit at home and watch it than fellowshipping together as the Scripture mandates that we do, there's a problem.
Amen.
And,
amen.
And Pastor, that is speeding up the apostasy in America today.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, we have begun to sit down on the stool of do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And this has turned into an activity, just a pastime activity instead of worship.
Yes.
Now, the Scripture, as you said, already commands us, Hebrews 10:25, forsake not to assemble yourself together as the manner of some is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not saying that for nothing, or like the old people used to say, dry long so.
That's right.
In other words, amen, it's not there because it doesn't have any meaning. You need to examine that and see what's in that for you as a believer. Because what we need to know on today, not everyone who say that they are a Christ follower mm-hmm. are actually following Christ.
That's right.
Amen.
Found in Matthew chapter 7. We'll read that in a moment, by
Amen.
The way. Pastor.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject that I believe is a grave, important, major subject to recognize. So perhaps you're asking the question, rightly so, you're asking the question, what is apostasy? What is the definition? I've looked at probably 24 articles on the subject to find a narrowed, focused, clear definition. One writer says apostasy is defined as falling away, a withdrawal from the faith, a defection. Apostasy is seen as withdrawing from the faith and trust in God. Now, Pastor, I'm still under 100 years old, had the privilege of serving in ministry for some 55 plus years, and I don't believe I've ever seen a day and time as we're seeing today. You can talk with a person that's dropped out on God. You can talk with a person that's fallen away. You can talk with an individual that's withdrawn from the fellowship. You can talk with an individual that's defected from the faith, and they say, oh, no, I still love God. I still love Jesus. I'm still saved. I'm still going to heaven. Pastor, there's a Greek word for that, horse feathers.
All right. Amen.
Horse feathers.
Amen.
As the little boy says, there ain't no such thing. If you're saved, if you love the Lord, unless you are providentially hindered, that is, unless God has prevented you from having 2 feet to walk or a car to drive or someone to pick you up, or a physical ability or disability or malability that prevents you from coming, you need to be in fellowship with other believers.
Amen.
My Bible
Amen.
Says when you get saved, old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new.
Amen. Well, here's another definition that I found, Dr. Youngblood, in my research. And it said, apostasy is decisively turning away from the faith.
Mm-hmm.
You have made the decision.
Decision, absolutely.
How? I'm still shocked, you know, in my shoes
yes.
right now, trying to figure out if you say you love the Lord,
mm-hmm.
if you are sitting on the front pew every day or every Sunday,
mm-hmm.
doesn't matter how many times you come together, but he says often as we come together, we should come together and worship the Lord.
Yeah, I like those, by the way, if I can interject this, that say, you know, there's nothing the Bible says you worship on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. No, it's not.
Amen.
But in the scripture, when the church was birthed, they worshiped every day.
Amen.
From house to house.
At each other's house.
At
Amen.
Each other's
Thank
home.
God for that.
That's right.
Amen. And because that's how I came up.
That's right.
When I first got saved in 1985, we went from house to house at different times, mm-hmm. especially to the saints that had health problems, mm-hmm. that were bedridden. Some of them were on their way out, getting ready to go
yes.
and be with the Lord. And we would take services to their bedside
yes.
and just have church service right there with them.
Mm-hmm.
But getting back to what I was saying about decisively, when we look at those sitting on the front pew singing the song, I know I got a seat in the kingdom and it's all right.
Mm-hmm.
How did you ever come to the decision now that all of a sudden, after you have sang that song,
mm-hmm.
and it's supposed to have so much meaning to you,
yes.
how did you come to the decision all of a sudden now that you no longer believe in Christ?
Right.
So in other words, the song that you were singing was just a lie.
A lie. Make believe.
We have to be careful because this scripture tells us we're going to give an account before Christ for everything that we do.
That's
so
right.
for that reason, I keep in mind, again, thank God for my upbringing.
Amen.
The old preachers used to say, if you pray, you'll stay. If you fast, you'll last.
That's right.
Amen.
I use the term, the faith that falters before the finish had a fatal flaw at the first.
Amen. Amen.
That's a tongue twister, but it's a real vivid illustration. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at Merriam-Webster's dictionary just on the surface, not an in-depth, but let me say, read this. The definition of apostasy is in two senses. The definition says in the dictionary, an act of refusing to continue to follow, to act of refusing to obey, act of refusing to recognize the religious faith. Secondly, the abandonment of previous loyalty to the faith.
It
is called defection.
That's
defection.
A sad word.
We're finding today, Pastor, defection of the faith, defection from the faith that is, I believe, more egregious than anything that I've ever seen. In fact, in the Timothy text, 1 Timothy, the fourth chapter, I believe it is, and in the first verse, first two verses, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart, that's apostasy, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared. So, Pastor, we're finding those that are defecting from the faith, those that are literally falling away, those that are withdrawing from the faith, are following doctrines. The word doctrines means teachings of demons.
Amen.
Doctrines
Amen.
Of demons.
Amen.
So, ladies and gentlemen, it's very, very serious that we understand that what is happening in, quote, Christendom today in America is a defection from the faith. It is a falling away. It is an apostatizing that we see take place today. And it's, I understand, theologically, doctrinally, biblically, it is what God has already said is going to happen. That doesn't mean that because the Scripture says it, you need to say, well, it's okay. No, it's not okay. If you're saved, you need to be faithful. Pastor, one of the most difficult things I find and pastoral ministry is to be able to somehow, some way, get a handle on what causes people to just drop out of the faith, drop away from the church, and just basically bid farewell with no thoughts, no consideration
Amen.
Of what it's
Amen.
Going to do to their future and their spiritual upbringing and well-being.
Amen.
It is
Amen.
A sad, sad shame, ladies. We're talking about the great apostasy is here. The definition of apostasy is generally defined as a falling away, a withdrawal, a defection from the faith. And ladies and gentlemen, as it relates to biblical Christianity, it is seen as a withdrawal, a falling away of the faith, an abandonment of the commitment that's once held to Jesus Christ as Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe this is a subject that we need to grasp and understand. We've got a whole lot more details that we're going to try to capsulize in the last half of this broadcast today. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. Top of the hour news, and right after the news, we're going to continue our subject today. The great apostasy is here.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. House Republicans delivered on their promise to pass a bill that prohibits trans athletes from competing in girls' and women's sports. However, the bill does not have enough support in the Senate, where Democrats hold a slim majority. The U.S. is setting a record pace for mass killings this year. In the last week, four people were fatally shot at a Sweet 16 party in Alabama, and a man shot and killed another four people in Maine. Data maintained by the AP, USA Today, and Northeastern University show 88 people have died in 17 mass killings since the 1st of January. There's word that President Biden will formally announce his 2024 re-election campaign as soon as next week, possibly on Tuesday. Stocks are mixed at this hour. The Dow is up 52 points, while the NASDAQ is 11 points lower. This is SRN News.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on two stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today that I believe we need to grasp and understand, get a handle on what is being said in. That is the great apostasy. The apostasy is here. It's not future, it's present. Now, when we talk about apostasy, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand, we're not talking about those that are lost. Those that are lost are lost. They don't go to church because they're lost. They don't sing the song gospel songs because they're lost. They don't love to study the Scripture and read the Scripture and pray and seek God's face because they're lost. We need to still seek to reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ, see them converted, see them born again, brought into the fold of the church and the fellowship of the believers. But ladies and gentlemen, we're not talking about today those that have never been saved, those that have never preferred and placed their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about those that have professed faith in Jesus Christ, and that at some point in time were actively involved in the local New Testament church, but they've fallen away. They've apostatized. They have literally defected from the faith.
Amen.
They've withdrawn from the body of Christ and no longer actively involved serving the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we look at, understand the definition of apostasy, literally, as we said, it's talking about falling away. It is a withdrawal from the faith. It is a defection from the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. But ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand there are different declensions of apostasy. What are some of the evidences of apostasy? I've just outlined, Pastor, three or four things. Some will fall away due to persecution, according to Matthew 24 and verse 4.
All right.
Some will fall away due to false teachers. We're going to talk about that extensively today, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 11. Some will fall away due to forsaking worship. according to Hebrews 10:25 and following. Some will fall away due to unbelief, Hebrews 3 and verse 12. But ladies and gentlemen, those are the declensions and the relevant evidences of apostatizing, of falling away. Now, when you look at the seed, the sower, and the soil, as found in the parallel gospels, you will find that some will have the gospel explained to them, they'll readily receive it, and then when persecutions and problems and difficulties come, they will fall away, apostatize. You will find those that will go through the persecution and the difficulties, and the roots go deeper and deeper, and they'll produce fruit. Those are the ones, ladies and gentlemen, that are hanging in there and sticking to it. You can go to Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, and find that there's the warning. And Pastor, we'll look at that in a minute. There's the warning there. Remember from whence you've fallen.
Amen.
Repent and return.
That's right.
And that's
Amen.
The challenge Amen. In this broadcast today, is to remember where you were. Repent from what you're now doing in your apostasy and return to the faith. That's what is mandated in the scripture. But ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number, by the way, is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. I'm looking at one article that says, detecting the signs of apostasy in your church. Some will twist the scriptures or pervert the truth to fit an agenda. Some, they live a life counter to the ideals as set forth in Christianity. Some are often marked by pride and flattery and will cause division and more focused on things of the world than things of Christ. And it is a fact, ladies and gentlemen, that we're seeing that today, perhaps as more than I've seen in my lifetime. So I want us to understand what I call the demonstration of apostasy. The demonstration of apostasy. Remember, the Lord Jesus himself warns that we are now witnessing that. Pastor, find Matthew 24 and read verses 10 through 14. This is the eschatological text found in Matthew 24, found in John 21, found in Mark 13. We find it is what is called the eschatological prophetic text of future tense, and what the sign shall be that we understand what is happening. Jesus warns of the apostasy that we are now witnessing. Read verses 10 through 14, Pastor Davis.
Amen. Says here, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another. Mm-hmm. I think we're seeing that now.
Yes.
And shall hate. It's a bad thing when Christians love wax cold and they hate one another. Mm-hmm. Amen. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold.
Mm-hmm.
But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved.
Absolutely.
And this gospel of the kingdom, I love that.
That's right.
Shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come.
Yes. One of the things that we find, Pastor, is the realization and the recognition that God's word warns us in that text of what we're now witnessing. And one of the things, ladies and gentlemen, if I can tuck this little footnote in, to a degree, as Christians, we ought to be excited when we see this happening. Hear me. Because we understand then God's word is being fulfilled, and the more we see in the falling away, the closer we are to the rapture of the church and the 7 years of tribulation and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to understand the chronological aspect of what God's word is telling us and warning us about. There's that defection, that falling away, that apostatizing that the scripture speaks of, as we talked about it, falling away, a withdrawal from the faith, a defection from the faith. Perhaps you're listening today and you say, Pastor, when I got saved, I was faithful. When I got saved, I was in church every Sunday. When I got saved, I read my Bible. After I got saved, I prayed. After I got saved, I wanted to be found faithful in Sunday school and worship service and in everything. Ladies and gentlemen, I've said, for my family, Joshua said, but as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24:15. It takes a personal decision, a parental decision, that's what we're going to do in our home. It's not a matter of saying, well, if I feel like it, I'll go. If I don't have anything else to do, I'll go to church. It's a matter of saying that we're going to be found faithful. I found too many times, Pastor, when we have a large group of visitors, it seems to fall on the times that the majority of the faithful few that's supposed to be coming decide they're going to do something else that Sunday.
Amen.
Have you ever
Amen.
Found that?
I've seen it. Amen. Amen. I'm a witness.
It is an amazing thing to witness those events. It is a lack of faithfulness that continues to erode the fundamental foundation of what God wants to do in our churches, ladies and gentlemen. The demonstration of apostasy is found. God's word warns that rebellion against God, it's rebellion against God's word that takes place in society. In fact, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3, it talks about the apostasy. And let me just give you, our listeners, Pastor, just a little thumbnail sketch. The Greek text is the apostasia, translated apostasy, means falling away, betrayal, or rebellion. This apostasy is talking about from the Orthodox Christian faith. It's not falling away or rebelling against government. It's not falling away or rebelling against family. It's not falling away or rebelling against the system. It's the falling away and rebelling against the faith that is found in the Scripture. It is rebelling and falling away from the truth of the Word of God. It is falling away from the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor, I've seen this taking place in the erosion of the church and the foundation for many, many years now. And it is getting exponentially rapid as the days come and go that we're seeing time for the rapture of the church to take place. But there's a depiction of apostasy that's found in the Scripture. We need to look at the and find the apostasy and what the apostasy is really all about. For example, Pastor, let's just call a few names. Some people get a little uptight with this.
Amen.
They think you're not supposed to. Ladies and gentlemen, for those that are worried about calling names of apostasy, the Apostle Paul confronted Peter publicly, the Scripture says, in Acts chapter 15. He was a hypocrite, and Paul confronted him as a hypocrite, frontally confronted him. I believe that that's necessary in society today. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. Andy Stanley, ladies and gentlemen, Charles Stanley, his dad, 90 years old, just went to be with the Lord a couple of days ago.
Amen.
My wife, by the way,
wonderful man.
Pastor Davis, my wife said, perhaps God took Charles home so that he would not be so worried and frightened and concerned about the defection taking place in the life of his son, Andy Stanley.
Amen. Amen.
Andy Stanley says that the Ten Commandments are not relevant for Christians today. Andy Stanley says that we must jettison the Old Testament. Now he's saying that we ought not to place our faith and trust in the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, is a text that I believe we should be concerned about and recognize. In that text, I'm going to read it in a moment, Pastor Davis, and we'll talk about it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 and following. Now, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many, we got our word megas from that. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Verse 23, Jesus speaking, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
My, my.
Ladies and gentlemen, a lot of folks today that says, Lord, Lord, that word Lord in the Greek text is kurios, means owner and master, concerner. And Jesus is talking about here, many will call me Lord, but I am not their Lord at all. He says, depart from me, I never knew you. Ladies and gentlemen, Charles Andy Stanley is a candidate, as I call it, to fit what we see in the text, in the Jude text. It is very, very fearful to see what is said in Jude chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Pastor, I'm going to read that and then ask you to talk about that for a moment. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who are before of old ordained to condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our Lord unto lasciviousness and denying the Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I believe that's the, in context, I believe that I can say that fits Andy Stanley perfectly.
My mind,
if you
yes.
say we need to jettison the Old Testament, if you say that we that the Ten Commandments are not relevant to the Christian today, what you're doing is you're denying the truth of the gospel, of you're denying the Word of God. You're rejecting the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God.
Amen. You know, sometimes I wonder, Dr. Youngblood, I've heard that more than once from other individuals as well. The whole 66 books, all of it is the Word of God.
That's right.
How can we set aside any part of that and say that it's not pertinent to our salvation since it comes from the Old Testament?
Right.
Because we're the New Testament or the New Covenant Church. The Old Testament or the Old Covenant doesn't matter.
Right. That's what they're saying.
No, my friend, the old points to the new.
That's right.
And the new points back to the old.
Well,
in other words, Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed.
Well stated, absolutely.
Amen.
The Old Testament gives windows into the New Testament. The New Testament's foundation is from the Old Testament. In fact, you can look at a lot of people use the red letter edition where Jesus, those red letters were where Jesus supposedly spoke. Well, I disagree with that. If Jesus Christ is God and he is, you begin in Genesis 1, when in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, then every word that's in the Bible is the Lord from the Lord Jesus Christ because he is God. But there are a lot of people that say, well, if Jesus didn't say it, then that's not relevant. And they wind up twisting scripture and chopping portions of the scripture out. And that's the reason Andy Stanley is saying that. But the Old Testament is the foundation for the scripture. In all of the New Testament, Jesus quoted hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times from the Old Testament.
Amen.
In the
Amen.
New Testament teaching. But it's Andy Stanley that says we need to jettison the Old Testament. It says we ought not to place our faith and trust even. The most recent thing is with Andy Stanley, he says we ought not to place our faith and trust in the Bible.
Amen.
I mean, that's a total perversion. That's where you find twisting scripture to pervert the truth to fit an agenda. They live and counter the ideals that's set in place by Christianity. We're going to talk about several others if time will allow us to. I believe Jose's on the line. Jose, go over the question or comment, please.
Hey, brother, thank you very much. Does Andy's dad still alive?
He passed away day before yesterday.
Oh, Lord, I'm pretty sure he might be screaming on the grave.
Yes.
The nonsense that his son is doing. And I think that's the problem. I'm not blaming all of the ministries nationwide, but a huge majority. Remember the book of Acts, when the Bible says that the leaders were devoted to the prayer and the studying of the scripture. And this is this new generation, that's the last thing they want to do. They want to be famous. They want to be out there. They want to be loved by the world. That's why they are so spineless, biblically. And they just go with the flow. And they're just teaching a lot of nonsense. But is that lack of, how can I say this, a spiritually intensivity. They're not seeking the Lord as the Bible tells us to do so. So any kind of wind that comes, any kind of whatever comes, they take it. And they don't have the spiritual backbone to say, wait a minute. No, that's not what the Bible says. And fight for it. They just go with the flow because spiritually they are weak. They can speak to thousands of people. They can speak good motivators like the other one. What's his name? Austin. But the essence, the spiritually nutrients that is in the word, they're not digging in. So they cannot feed the flock. They're just using rhetoric, humanistic ideas. This is what I'm
saying. You're exactly right. And what they're warning is, as I use the term for alliterative purposes, many preachers, if not most today, are looking for numbers, nickels, and noses. They want to be able to fill the pew. They want to be able to fill the offering plate. They want to be able to look and sense, have the sense from the world as being popular and having the large numbers to come in. That's exactly what most are doing today. They're concerned about the numbers, nickels, and noses. And to give you a good illustration of what happens, back many, many, many years ago in my hometown, the one that was the very, very famous and well-known and well-recognized in our whole area as the pastor of that First Baptist Church. One of our men saw him in the grocery store one day and asked him, said, tell me about your salvation. Are you saved? And his answer was a quipped answer. He said, I have, you know, I'm a professional preacher. Well, it didn't take but a few years after that that it hit the headlines that he'd been sleeping with his secretary, and his secretary had been doing, for each week she'd prepare his pulpit outline, and he would not even see that outline until he would walk out and stand at the pulpit to start speaking, and he would speak slowly, decisively to the camera, and it looked as though, well, here's a preacher that knows what he's doing, but he would not even prepare his own message. The secretary that he was sleeping with was doing the preparation for his messages. Now, that's a defection from the faith. That is an apostasy. That's falling from the, and we have so much of that in our pulpits today, and I'm going to illustrate that in just a moment, where you're taking the world situation, the world's ideas, the woke culture, and you bring it into the church, and because preachers wanting numbers and nickels and noses, they're embracing every lifestyle that is immoral, ungodly, and unholy that we ought not to see taking place. That's part and parcel of the falling away, the apostatizing, the defection from the faith. So, Jose, we need to go back to what the Scripture says in Revelation 2:4. We need to remember from where we've fallen. We need to repent and return. Or Jesus says, I will remove you. And I believe we're seeing the churches removed today because of that. Jose, thank you so much for your call. All we can do, brother, is keep praying, keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Pastor, there's another name that comes to mind, Dr. J.D. Greer. Now, many people perhaps have never heard that name. Dr. J.D. Greer was the recent past president of the Southern Baptist Convention. Dr. J.D. Greer, one of his sermons on homosexuality and the LGBTQ agenda, or community as they call it, said churches should love them, embrace them, bring them into the fellowship of the churches. Now, is there a problem with that, Pastor?
Well, the only thing about that, Dr. Youngblood, is that, you know, the Scripture tells us a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump.
Right.
If you're going to allow any sin to come into where no sin is or is supposed to reside, sooner or later, that sin is going to infiltrate everything that's there.
I've used the example in what I call a Washington State red apple. You can take a bushel of Washington State red apples. You can take one that's got a decaying spot on the side of it, tuck it into the middle of that bushel, put that bushel in the closet for about 30 days, and most, if not all, will already have been infected by that. If you have the mindset that you bring them into the church, speaking of the sodomite LGBTQ lifestyle they call now community, if you bring that into the church, they're allowed into the restrooms, the bathrooms. You got to keep an eye on all the kids. If you allow that to come into the church, then what's the point in preaching the gospel? What's the point in calling sin, sin, if you're going to embrace sin and bring it into the fellowship of the church? That is ungodly, unholy, unheard of in anything that's called biblical Christianity.
Well,
but
Dr. Greer
took a stand on that.
I don't have a problem inviting them to hear the word.
Absolutely.
If you want to come hear the word of God,
wonderful.
Let's make sure you understand that you get what you need to get out of that to get your life in order.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Because the church is the church. We have to remember this is the body of Jesus Christ. This is not just a building sitting on the corner.
That's right.
This is the universal church.
That's right.
Amen. The body of Jesus
Christ.
Body of Christ. So if you look at Christ, he is holy God. So if we look at holy God, that means he is, in him is no sin because he can't tolerate sin.
Absolutely.
And so then that means the same thing for the church. For us, we shouldn't be tolerating sin.
Right.
We need to make sure we separate ourselves from that.
Now, so that our listeners will understand, we're not saying that a Christian is sinless.
Amen.
That means that we have said yes to Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven, our sins have been remitted, our sins are under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And each and every day, there's a sin thought, sin action, sin deed. We're to go back and repent and ask God not for not for salvation again, but for cleansing,
Amen.
According to
Amen.
The Scripture. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness,
Amen.
The Scripture says. But ladies and gentlemen, not only Andy Stanley and J.D. Greer, but an individual that perhaps you've heard and maybe you have not, Dr. Ed Litton. Dr. Litton is the present president of the Southern Baptist Convention, and he said the Bible, listen to what Dr. Litton says, ladies and gentlemen, he says the Bible only whispers about sexual sin, yet screams about other sins. I just think, wow, what about Genesis 19? God didn't whisper about the sodomite lifestyle. He destroyed two cities and all the plains round about. Genesis 19, verse 25 and following tells us. What about what the Scripture says that in Romans, the first chapter, verse 18 through 32, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. God
Amen.
Gave them over to a reprobate mind. What about 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10, where God says the sodomites will not inherit the kingdom of God?
And let's not forget 1 Timothy chapter 1.
Yes.
He said the law was made for the effeminate, for mm-hmm. the abusers of themselves with mankind.
That's right.
Let's make sure we understand that now, because sometimes we say, oh, we read a lot about that. That was in the Old Testament. No, my friend, if you examine the New Testament, mm-hmm. it's there too. So guess what? You said you're the New Testament church. Mm-hmm. That means that word fits your situation.
Absolutely. And Pastor, here's one of the key things that I'm wanting our listeners to understand. I'm talking about now the apostasy in our churches, and it goes back to a fundamental, rudimentary, foundational reason, and that is a twisting of the Scripture, a depleting of the Scripture, a rejection of the Scripture, a refusal to follow what God's Word says. It's not a matter of what we think, say, or feel. It's not a matter of love, as these pastors are saying. We've got to love everybody. Dr. Ed Litton, the present president of the Southern Baptist Convention, just as his predecessor, has the feeling that we must embrace the sodomite LGBTQ agenda. He said, quote, Dr. Ed Litton said, and I'm quoting, homosexuality will not send a person to hell, end quote.
My
Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, that it will send a person to hell
Amen.
Unless there's a repenting of it and a receiving of Christ as Savior. It's not a matter of picking and choosing. It's not a matter of what we want to say or believe. Dr. Litton says homosexuality will not send you to hell. The Pope, in fact, Pastor Davis, it was March of over a year, I think it was almost 2 years ago now, in March of that year, the Pope declares that homosexuality is not sin, and it's because God created you that way, and you ought not to worry about it. Now, that's speaking to, what is it, 1.5 billion people around the globe that falls into that religious category. But ladies and gentlemen, there's one other one, if time will allow us to talk about it. Dr. Ute, the spell U-T-H, Ute, I think is the way they pronounce his name. He's the pastor of First Baptist Church in Orlando, Florida. And Dr. Ute is one that made the statement that said that the church ought to be a, quote, safe place. It ought to be a place where a person feels safe in relationship to who he is and what is taking place. Let me just read something. First Baptist Church Orlando is one of the largest churches in the Southern Baptist Convention. They have completely capitulated to the culture of homosexuality. Their pastor says that a healthy church must include LGBTQ, transgendered people, sexually immoral people, and heretics. I just say, where's the outrage for the Christian? What happens? Now, ladies and gentlemen, his senior associate pastor made this statement, and I'll wrap it up. His name is Reverend Danny DeArms. Danny DeArms says this in one of his sermons, First Baptist Church Orlando. He says, we have those who are love contemporary music. We have those who love traditional music. We have all ethnic backgrounds. We have the LGBTQ community. We have gay, straight, trans, transgender, and those that cohabitating. All of these people live, love, serve, give together as we're growing in the Lord together. We have pro-life, pro-choice, et cetera, et cetera. We have the BLM. We have Democrats and we have Republicans. Ladies and gentlemen, this is total apostasy.
My.
It is a total rebellion against God and God's word. It is a total affront to every child of God, for every Christian.
Amen.
So, Pastor, I leave our listeners with this. Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 reminds us, remember from whence we have fallen. Repent and return, or Jesus said, I'm going to remove you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So, Pastor, I think that it's time that we wake up, stand up, smell the coffee in America,
Amen.
And realize that our churches are faltering and falling because of apostasy. And most of that goes back to the leadership that's wanting the numbers, nickels, and noses.
Amen.
Rather than the truth of the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air once again as we face the issues.
Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're in